with haunting ghouls.
Buckle in as we are riding shotgun with my haunting guru guest, Warren Mad Maxwell from the Third Degree of Terror Home Haunt in Ayr, Massachusetts. We have 60 minutes to the end of the show, a full tank of gas, a half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're both wearing sunglasses. Hit it, Warren.
Hey, campers. How are you?
They're doing well. They just told me.
Sorry. I'm used to more interactive media, I guess. So, hey, kids. This is Warren Maxwell, as Chris said.
Oh, I see those hipster YouTube chat things. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm down with the cool kids.
Podcasting isn't cool. Yeah, I get it.
I know. I'm actually kind of an old fossil. I should be more hip with this old technology.
Holy shit. I remember those days when we used to listen to the podcast. Hey, you're a fellow masshole. Actually, you're not really a masshole. I mean, you live in Massachusetts, but you're one of those nice guys. You're not one of the people who call a masshole like myself.
Yeah, I'm actually a transplant. I grew up in New Jersey, so I've been in New England 20-some years.
Oh, so you should be even worse than me.
I have embraced the lifestyle.
New Jersey thing going.
Well, we do have that whole Sopranos, whacking people and, whatever. We have that in our background. So, one of my first high school girlfriends, her dad was connected, shall we say.
Really?
And I treated her very, very well. Okay. For good reason, obviously.
Oh, shit. Can't see why you wouldn't. Plus, you're a gentleman, from what I hear, right?
I try to be. That is kind of my rep. I'm a nice guy. I try to shake that, but it just keeps coming back to haunt me.
Unlike myself. Well, nobody likes me, but that's all right. That's another conversation for another podcast.
Yeah, and embrace what works for you. That's my motto in life.
So what should we go into? I guess, should we go into Ghoulie Manor first, or should we go right into your home haunt? What do you think?
We can talk Ghoulie Manor.
All right, let's go Ghoulie style. So what's the latest with Ghoulie? I know they were shut down last year. Is it done now, or is it coming back? What's the deal?
Okay, we're still in hiatus. Right now things are in storage. We are not going to be open this fall, unfortunately, not in 2017. We're still holding out hope for 2018. But the key thing is we need to find a new location. And Victor Berto, the owner of Ghoulie Manor, has got a lot of stuff going on in his personal life currently, so he really doesn't have the cycles to go and find a new location. So once things settle down, he may be able to invest the time and effort to do that.
And for those of you who don't know, Vic Barito is the home haunter who was featured in American Scream, which is available on Netflix, maybe, still. I'm not sure if it's still on there, but it was.
Yeah, it's on there. I think it's also on Amazon Prime as well. Okay.
I don't know if it painted home haunters in the best light, but... So Ghoulie had been around for what, about 4 or 5 years?
We did 4 seasons.
4 seasons, and you were in from the get-go.
Yeah, I was involved. My involvement kind of grew over the course of the 4 years. Like initially, I would just kind of help building, but then as the years went by, I would like do some more building. I'd actually do some acting a couple nights every year. It was kind of a challenge because Ghoulie was actually like a 70-mile ride each way for me, so it was kind of tough for me just to pop down there. For build nights or even to act, especially midweek, because I got this terrible day job that actually provides money to me and keeps me busy Monday through Friday. So
it's got one of those capitalist jobs where it pays you money.
I'm a total capitalist running dog. I actually like income and be able to eat and buy beer and stuff like that. So
I mean, I know a lot of people from the Mass Make and Take and the local area got involved with Vic. I mean, Vic's been involved in that scene for quite a while. I haven't been to a make and take in quite a bit. I know you're still doing them, right? I know that you had one lined up somewhere within the last month, maybe have more coming up this summer?
Yeah, actually, I've kind of adopted the role of like make it and take coordinator. So I kind of, you know, run things nowadays. So actually, I hosted one at my house just 2 weeks ago, and we were making wooden coffins, groundbreaker style coffins, out of my old wooden fence. So the windstorm in February that took out my 15-year-old wooden fence, knocked down a whole bunch of sections, ended up being a boon for Halloween props, because I decided to like save the fence sections, and we started converting those into coffins, and it works beautifully.
There you go, repurposing.
Exactly. All about, you know, all about repurposing. Ecological.
You are.
Green.
You're a little freaking tree hugger you are.
I am. But actually, it's funny you mentioned make and take and Vic, because I can point to like a specific day where I think I truly became a haunter. And it was at a make and take session. It was the first one I'd ever attended. It was organized by, we were talking about Joe LaJoy earlier on. And at this make and take, Vic was teaching how to make PVC figures. And at the time, I mean, my skills were, you know, I was a, you know, Padawan. I knew very, very little. And Vic showed how to actually make articulated PVC figures with the joints and whatever. And I was just blown away. But part of the reason why I bring up this event is there was a actual member of HauntCast was also in attendance that day.
Danny?
Yes, he was.
Would have to be. The only other person that was local. At the time. So, yeah, Denny was the one who actually, from that, he taught me a few things that he learned from Vic. And that helped me make my Sam prop and then a few other things that I've made over the years. So, yeah, it was, you know, it all trickles down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm going to, you know, credit anything to my success as a haunter, it's being able to, like, meet other haunters face to face and just collaborate and kick ideas around and learn off one another. You know, I talk about haunting being a team sport. You know, you just can't go it alone.
You've worked at Ghoulie Manor for several seasons. What were some of the cooler projects that you worked on there? Like, what just pick a favorite scene, something you made. I've seen some of your handiwork when I was there. Some people are like, oh yeah, Warren did that. I don't remember if it was that big like steel boiler looking prop thing that was in one of the back rooms. And let's just talk about how you put it together or something along those lines.
My favorite prop that I built for Ghoulie Manor was the pipe organ. That's actually in the first room you entered right after the foyer. And basically, we had like a regular organ, but I built a wooden surround to go around it, and then using PVC pipe created the actual pipe, you know, brass pipe fittings. But I put a twist on it. Literally, the pipes would extend, and they wrapped around each other, and they appeared to come alive. The ends of the pipes split open into claws and were reaching down towards people as they walked by.
And they were all PVC?
That was all PVC. Sorry, I just went all Southern there for a second. Must be the beer.
Hey, Bubba.
Sorry.
Okay, so the pipe organ. Now, that was pretty cool because I remember going in there, and there was some kind of a trigger. So when you walk by it, it like had a like a blasting noise or an organ, like
it was actually tied to the actual organ itself. It was just, you know, we had it so that you know, the organ would trigger. And then another shout out to Denny. We had a organist player sitting at the organ, and when the trigger was pressed to, you know, trigger the sound, it also an error. We had a pneumatic line that flipped his head back. So it looked like he was decapitated by the swinging pipes of the organ. So it was a very simple effect, but I think it worked pretty well.
That was one scene I definitely remembered. And obviously being one of the first scenes when you walk in the door. But that wasn't there until your last year. That wasn't there the years prior, I don't think, was it?
It was there prior to that. I built that prior to at least year three, if not year two. Oh. So that was one of my first projects there. All right, and
then forget what I just said.
Yeah, because I kind of know, like, you know how many, like, ridiculous amount of hours I spent, you know, building stuff leading into it. So, like, the final year was the year that I built the Gypsy Wagon that was out in the Queue Line area. So that was my big project leading into that year. We have a person who was actually doing, like, tarot card readings and things like that. She was a werewolf gypsy. Her name's Anne. Actually, she lives in Bourne. I think you know Anne Gratis.
Yeah.
Anne Gutterson.
Sure.
So she would do readings for folks. So she needed, like, for a while, for the first year or two at GUI, we had her in this terrible kind of pop-up tent that we tried to make look like a gypsy tent, and the result wasn't very good. So we decided she needed a good home. So I built her a facade that looks like a gypsy wagon, complete with fabric interior and things like that, and it came out pretty well.
So are you having Dave do the dishes in the background? Is that Dave Washington?
I'm sorry. That's Jennifer, who not only does she come and help me build a haunt, but she comes and cooks and cleans and whatever. It's wonderful. She's apologizing for the noise. Don't worry.
It's Jennifer Vladablanca Ding Dong. I forget. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Ben Landingham. Yes.
That Ben Landingham. Mouthful. I was calling it Van Dam Landingham.
Van Slam Dam, you know, ham. You could go that way.
Did you just go to the Dark Hour workshop? Did I see that you go into that workshop down in Texas with Alan Hopps Haunt?
Yes. That? Yes, I did. It was the premier haunt tour and education series by Transworld. It was actually organized by Transworld, and it involved both Dark Hour in Plano and Reindeer Manor in Red Oak, Texas. So we did a tour of Reindeer Manor on Friday night. That was both, you know, full actor, full show, and also behind the scenes. And then the next day we shifted over to Dark Hour and did a day-long set of classes, behind-the-scene tours leading up to their evening show. Because Dark Hour is one of the few haunts that's open year-round. They do essentially almost a monthly show. They do 8 shows a year, not, you know, including Halloween season.
How much was the cost to get in to do the whole session?
The session, you know, I did like the combo for both haunt tours with the classes and whatever, and it ran a little over $200. So I just went down for essentially 2 nights, Friday, Saturday, and then came back on Sunday. So it was under a grand, you know, for the weekend.
What'd you learn? Tell us.
They had 8 sessions of classes, and you had during 4 time slots. So you had to choose between 2 classes for each time slot. They had a class on media campaign building. So basically how to do promotion. And they talked through, they had their whole media team. One thing, I was very impressed by the level of organization at Dark Hour. It's probably the most, I've been to over 50 haunts. And that's probably the most polished, professional, best organized haunt I've ever seen. And so they talked about how they go about promoting each of these shows, from the concept of the poster design leading into all the promotional materials and their timetables, and how everything spins out of, you know, this initial concept. And so that was very useful, because I'm trying to do a lot more self-promotion of my home haunt. You know, for years I just kind of operated it more as a Halloween night activity. But last year I started breaking into a 3-night show involving more actors. And so developing flyers, posters, getting more media involvement, that type of thing. So that class was very helpful for me.
So this wasn't because you are aspiring to go into the pro arena?
I really don't have aspirations of getting into the pro arena. As much as I have enjoyed my involvement with Ghoulie Matter and with other pro haunts.
Have you been disillusioned?
I don't know if I've been disillioned, but
I mean, based on what, like, you've seen Vic go through, I mean, are you a little, were you more likely to go in that direction before working in a pro haunt and seeing what Vic had to go through, and now you're less likely, or did that have anything to do with it?
That's a very interesting question. It may have kind of swayed me away from that, or may have kind of reinforced some thoughts I had where, you know, haunting for me is a passion. It's a hobby. It's an outlet. But I try to maintain a separation of church and state kind of in my life, where I have my job, I have my career. I enjoy that work. Haunting is my escape. You know, that's you know, I pour the cash flow for a haunting is strictly one way for me. You know, other than some speaking fees. Yes, exactly. It's all out the door or into a pit. You know, it all slides into a pit.
Some people spend a shitload of money on rounds of golf, golf clubs, clothes, going to different courses. You know, and that's a constant money pit. At the end of the day, what do they have to show for it? It's just enjoyment for them, right? It's an outlet, it's a release. We do in a different arena. Yeah.
But we bring pleasure to other people in the process, unlike some of those other hobbies you quoted.
Let's rewind. We'll flip the little switch, push the button, go back to your humble beginnings as a haunter. When you went to the first couple of mass making takes, you weren't a home haunter at that point, were you? Or how the hell did you even get involved with that?
Well, so I'm kind of a slow kid.
I've noticed.
I drool a lot. It's kind of hard to hide. I really didn't get involved in the haunting. I wasted a lot of my life on career and, you know, and all this stuff, you know, career advancement, travel, business, all that stuff. Yeah, I know. It wasn't until I finally broke down and bought my first house when I turned 40 that I decided to kind of turn to haunting and say, you know, I've always loved Halloween. I've enjoyed making costumes and things like that. But it wasn't until I had kind of a home base with a house that I said, all right, let me start getting into haunting. So I started off with a yard haunt, did that for a couple of years.
Yeah, but how did happen? Like, how did you, like, what happened to you that you said, I want to start, like, doing my yard up and shit? Like, that happened when you were 40 years old? That you just flipped the switch and you were like, I want to start doing this?
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I started where everyone starts. I started as a decorator, not necessarily as a haunter. So I had, like, you know, the blown up figures or whatever in the front yard.
You mean like a normal person?
Exactly. But then, you know, when I started straight to the dark side was when I was like, hey, maybe I can make my own tombstones. And that's, you know, that was the first, you know, step down the path of the dark side. And so I started to apply a theme to my yard haunt. Now, I also have a passion I'm a pirate reenactor. I actually teach pirate history of the golden age of piracy. So I decided to blend kind of my two passions together and do a pirate-themed yard haunt. So I started, like making it look like there were treasure chests being, you know, dug up on my front lawn. And actually, I built cannons that stuck out my front windows and pointed at my neighbor's house, who loved that look, by the way. That went across really well. That kind of signaled the neighborhood about, oh, God, who's this guy who just moved in? But that was kind of the starting point. And then, you know, I'm such a knucklehead. When I bought the house, I bought it, and I'm like, oh, I have this big 30 by 30 detached garage. And it didn't occur to me at the time how to use it. But a couple years into haunting, I said, well, wait a minute. What the hell am I doing with a yard haunt? Why am I worrying about weather and people coming by and stealing things off my front yard? Why don't I move everything into the garage? And that's when I really started. That's when the haunting really began in earnest. And at that point, that's when I connected to things like the different online forums, like Haunt Forum, and things like that.
What year, roughly?
That was probably 2008, 2009 timeframe.
Okay. So basically, that was like when Hauntcast got started. You were kind of just starting to get into this. Dead Man's Cove was your first haunt. That was the pirate-themed deal. I was watching some videos. It's funny.
Oh, God.
Did you post any videos of your current of the Third Degree of Terror? Because I saw all the trailers, but I didn't see the complete video. Did you not post one?
I don't actually have a very good walkthrough video of the Third Degree of Terror Hospital of Horrors theme, which is what I've done the last 2 years. I have promotional videos that talk about the Hospital of Horrors, but I never actually really captured it as a walkthrough.
Very good promotional videos, and then I was looking for more. I'm like, this is it? And then you had the Dead Man's Cove video, which was, you were just kind of walking around. Yeah, funny, Third Degree of Terror, the hospital, all the promo videos are super well-produced, very high quality. You go back and you look at the Dead Man's Cove, it's just you walking around the yard with a camcorder trying to narrating. Oh, by the way, you probably can't see anything here because this is kind of dark. And it's all
black. It's so dark.
You can't see shit. I'm like, all right, I'm fast forwarding through, trying to get to something I can do.
Yeah, I may actually want to take that Dead Man's Cove video off.
I can't see anything in the video.
Yeah, I mean that kind of shows my humble beginnings, and to all people starting off as haunting, just recognize that we all start at the same place. We all have humble beginnings, and then we get better.
We learn everything as we go, and we try to get better as we go, and that's it.
If you've been absolutely. Years, it's a building process.
Yeah, if your video doesn't have a decent quality, or your pictures don't, in 10 years you've been in there, then you haven't been paying attention, son. You just haven't paying attention.
But I was fortunate enough for talking about the promo videos for the Hospital of Horrors. I actually connected through a mutual friend, Amanda Revenge, who Amanda comes by and is another person who helps contribute to Third Degree of Terror, and she does some great work. She introduced me to Alex Tuttle, who runs a company called Idealist Media Services. And I'm sorry, I'm doing like shameless promotion here. Is this okay? Is this constant name dropping I'm doing? Is that all right?
What do I care?
So Alex is the one who actually filmed those promo videos. And so we did a work session last summer where we actually set up two rooms of the Haunt My Garage, modified the walls, did some painting, some distressing, and then we took advantage of that setup to actually shoot the video. And had some guest actors, some other friends, John and Carol Terra, who are also involved in the Third Degree of Terror. They came by to act in it. And the end results, you can see Alex is a professional videographer. He does great work. So anyone in the haunt industry who's looking for, a talented person to put together a promo video, go looking for Idealist Media Services.
He was with Amanda. She posted a video where they had come up to your haunt in the summertime. Is that the dude who was?
That's the dude. That is Alex. Yeah, he's a very talented young guy. He was involved in Emily Road Haunt down in Connecticut, which unfortunately they lost their location and had to close. But that was a very good haunt.
Let's talk about your Hospital of Horrors, your Third Degree of Terror haunt. So I take it could take variation. It could vary.
Yeah, so that's the haunt name, but the theme changes.
The theme is going to change. Is it changing this year, or are you still running one more year of the hospital?
Well, I am changing themes this year. My strategy is a 2-year cycle. So,
look at you, Mr. Ambition.
Yeah, I know. I'm like all like great dictators in history. I have a 5-year plan.
Dude, I'm running Village Mire into the friggin' ground.
You introduce new elements every year, so you keep it fresh.
I'm going to be 70, and it's going to be the Village Mire. It ain't changing shit. I'm going to be out in the yard all decrepit. Hey, they're going to go, is that a prop? No, it's the old guy who runs this shit.
He's a creep. Is that a scarecrow sitting in that chair? No, that's just a drunk man. That's okay. Don't look directly at him. So the theme coming up for 2017 and 2018 is Cathedral of Chaos, because I'm all about the alliteration. All my themes have to have alliteration in them. So the Cathedral of Chaos. The kind of backstory is that it's a chapel from the kind of Middle Ages of England that during a time of bubonic plague, the bishop at the time decided to close up the church and deny access to it to try to keep the plague, outside the church walls. And because I'm such a big H.P. Lovecraft geek, which is something I've always shared with Vic Barreto and Ghoulie Manor had very much a Lovecraft theme. There's the bishop basically gets involved in worshiping the old ones, and all the inhabitants of the cathedral basically go mad. And at some point, the cathedral is like transported through time to current day. So as people come to visit it as my home haunt, they're visiting this medieval cathedral that's been transplanted from, from history. So there's going to be, we're going to have mad monks and crazed priests and, torture rooms and catacombs and vortex tunnels and all sorts of fun stuff going on at the Cathedral of Chaos. Bring the kids.
Cool. How far are you into the build so far?
Not too far at this point. Actually, the build season really is kicking off this coming weekend. And actually, most of next week, Jennifer and I are going to do a lot of building. The catacombs are pretty well developed. I'm actually leveraging a lot of some of the previous work I've done for Ghoulie Manor. For example, the pipe organ I was describing has got a new lease on life at the Third Degree of Terror. And some of the stuff I did for the chapel at Ghoulie Manor are kind of being recycled into the Cathedral of Chaos.
Yeah, less build. Less.
Oh, yes. Yes. Why reinvent the wheel?
Repurposing. So you're hugging trees and you're, grasping sunshine, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. Sunshine, daisies, unicorns, farting, and yes, all that stuff.
Care Bears.
Care Bears. There you go. Feel the love. So this weekend we'll do a lot of like catacomb type stuff. We'll build what's known as a little coulee, which is those niches where the bodies were laid. We'll create some of those, using classic haunt construction techniques of, wood, wire mesh, great stuff, things like that. I purchased, I have to admit it, I actually went out and bought some stuff. I bought some vacuum form panels from Night Scream Studios that are kind of the classic, skulls and whatever embedded in like a dirt wall. So
it's not the price of the panels, it's the shipping that kills you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, God, you're so right.
It's about as much as the panel.
It depends how many panels you order, but yes, it is brutal because it's treated as air freight, it's not like, the UPS guy is going to come popping out of the brown truck, with one of these four by eight panels.
Oh yeah. Anytime you do freight, you're into almost $100 or something. It's ridiculous, but
it's a Band-Aid pull. So. It's just, you just rip it off and you deal with the pain. Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly.
So that's a big focus this weekend is kind of, we're going to be working on that, the chapel scene and whatever.
That's cool.
And actually I'm trying to get Amanda back up and Alex back up to shoot a new promo video. So
now,
stay tuned.
Do you have trouble getting people there? I mean, did you just enjoy doing the promo videos? I mean, do you really need to lure people in at this point?
Yeah, so I have to suck people in for them to truly appreciate it, unlike you, where people can drive by and enjoy it. So last year, over the course of three nights, I got between 425 and 450 people come by.
But that's a decent amount of people. I mean, 450. I mean, like, granted, I mean, I don't know the population of AIR. I mean, you can't be any more busy than I am here on Cape Cod. But I just do that one night because they have one night to come. And that's it. And I'm doing probably close to 500 right now, which I
don't, that's great.
But I don't want to do any more than that.
Do you have any traffic issues at all on Halloween night?
Not really. I mean, like cars come and pull in front of the yards? I mean, some of the neighbors like rope off their yards because we don't have sidewalks on Cape Cod. We have, some people could pull on to your lawn. Which I don't want people doing, and people are idiots if they do it, but sometimes people do. So what else? So since you do a tremendous amount of building and designing and whatnot, what have you learned over the last couple of years? Any, like, really cool tips, tricks, techniques things that you can share?
That's a great question.
Like you said, the PVC was like a life-changing moment for you. Any other like
that was.
Materials or the cool shit you learned that would like completely change your game?
I don't know. Not so much materials-wise, but, applying kind of like professional pro hunt techniques in terms of building to a home hunt, I think has huge benefits. So, I will do a shout out to Steve O'Connor, who, based on all of his experience building haunts, taught me how to build a fairly lightweight but strong and sturdy flat that's 4 foot wide, 8 foot tall. But rather than using the traditional 2x4s, uses 2x3 construction and Luon panels. So it provides you something that's strong, creates a very realistic wall structure, but at the same time, it's light enough that one person can pick up and carry, which you and I do probably most of all of our own setup work solo. We might grab some other bodies to help us set up, but...
Oh, I do. Except for my son, occasionally, I can grab one of my sons to help out. I do 98% of everything by myself, so...
Okay. So you understand that being able to move stuff by yourself and easily store it are critical things when it comes to maintaining a home haunt. If you're going to do it, over the long term, it sounds simple and stupid, but, it will save your back. It will save your life.
Best home haunt experience. Give me something. I know I didn't send you a whole breakdown of my questions because I don't have them until they come up, but any kind of cool thing that really has happened over the last couple of years, you were like, oh, that was so sweet or awesome.
One advantage I have is I have a lot of friends who are kind of experienced haunt actors. They've been doing it for years, both kind of pro and casual. And I've learned just to basically throw them into the garage with a minimum of direction in terms of the theme and kind of what I'm looking for, and just let them run with it and come up with the most wildest creative stuff they can do. And actually, the end results have been really good. Just funny dialogue, just off-the-cuff interaction, just letting people be spontaneous and have a lot of fun with it. That's one thing you talked earlier about, am I kind of jaded about the idea of pro haunts and things like that? Yeah, a little bit, because I've seen once you get too much into a business or when you get too many people involved, then drama and conflict comes into play. If you can keep it small and manageable, a home haunt should be just a thing of beauty and fun and purity. It should just be kind of... everyone, a couple people, showing off their love of Halloween and giving back to the community. And if you throw the right mix of people together and you just let them run with it, it can be a magical thing. So
good.
I have no idea if I actually answered your question or just babbled for the last, 97 seconds.
That was actually, you touched me.
Okay.
You really touched me.
No, I didn't. I deny that.
Keep your hands off me.
Yeah. I deny touching you.
You beast.
I never went near you.
I don't think you could have said it better, my friend. Like I say, I've thought over the last couple of years of what happens if the town starts to put pressure on me. This is what will happen. If I ended up getting to a point where I can't do any time, but I think there's always a way around it. I think that as long as I do, I can do a full display and be like, oh, okay, great. There's no scare factor. There's no startle effects or anything. We'll do everything as a display and we can give out candy at the gate. We can do that. If there's a way around it where we can just change some shit up so that we can get by through a loophole of, there's no structure. We have tarped walls or something, and we can still throw a couple of scares. I mean, seriously, I only have a couple of actors. It's like me, one other guy, and it's a girl who gives out candy. I mean, we don't have a lot of space to work with. And I have a bunch of pneumatics, that I've gotten from DC Props over the years. Most of the stuff that, or I've reworked with some of his mechanisms. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, I could just work. I keep reworking it. If I end up getting shut down completely for some reason, which I can't see happening, then at that point I would say, all right, fuck it. Now I'm going to go into pro. I'll do pro because you're not going to take it away from me completely. So if you're going to tell me that I can't do it here on my property at all, like if they force some kind of, oh, well, you're entertaining type of thing. Once again, I don't think you can do anything as long as you're just doing a yard display, which a lot of people do. And they do it well, and I could do it well. I mean, shit, the Davises don't do a walkthrough. You know, I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, exactly. And they draw people from across the country.
If there was any reason that I was going to get shut down completely, then I would say, all right, absolutely, I'll throw in. I don't know. Or if it would be a retirement thing. Like, yeah, everything's been going well. I've run my business out. I'm looking for just something to do now as, I don't know, another business adventure. But I'm like pretty much retired. Yeah, I might do it. I don't know. But then again, you'll see a lot of people kind of coming and going in and out of the industry. It kind of makes you wonder whether it's, and I know it hasn't been an easy ride for Vic either.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tightrope walk you walk, you know, between, you know, your love, your passion, your hobby, and then the kind of ugly business side of it and the realities of it. So you try to walk that fine line between the two so that you never lose, you know, the joy of it. That is what prompted all of us to get involved in it in the first place.
Yeah. So is Dave doing a home haunt anymore, or is he just working at yours? Like, he lives out more your way now, doesn't he, or no?
Yes, he does. Actually, I'm pulling Dave into the conversation. Dave, step into the conversation. So Dave he does a yard display as well. Actually, I'm going to pull the plug on my headphones. Hang on.
All right. So Unpleasant Street.
Both sides of the conversation.
Dave, is the haunt coming back?
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it again this year. It's got a new name, though.
I know, yeah. Since you don't live on Pleasant Street, it can't be the Unpleasant Street Haunt, so you got to do something new. So what is it?
Yeah, it's going to be called the Uncommon House of Horrors.
Is it Common Street?
I used to live on Common Street, but not anymore. But it's a generic enough sounding name, I think it works anywhere.
Did you keep the majority of your stuff from back in your Pembroke house?
Yeah, the vast majority has made the move with me, so I've got pretty much everything.
That's good to hear, because I wasn't sure what was going on with that. I know when you went to Braintree, you really weren't doing much there, you know.
Just a little graveyard in the front, but I didn't really do much beyond that.
Where are you living now? What town?
Maynard.
Which is that out by Ayr?
It is kind of close to Ayr. It's a tiny, tiny little town wedged between Sudbury and Concord.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes from Ayr.
Sweet. Yeah, dude, I didn't realize I was getting all these celebrities in one phone call. This is amazing.
Celebrities, that's funny.
Oh, haunt celebrities.
We need to pull Jennifer in, the Hawaii element.
Exactly. Let's get Vanalama Ding Dong in there. Come on.
All right, she's coming around the table as we speak.
So what are you doing? You're just up there helping out?
Yeah, I'm always more than happy to lend my hand at haunting at any time for Warren. I've come up a couple times, helped him out, acted as well as helping build and do some set dressing and stuff. I did a couple times at Ghoulie Manor, too.
Are you still living in Hawaii?
Yes, sir, I am.
Wow. Look at how dedicated you are, coming all the way up to the Northeast. Just to
That's
act
right.
for Warren and whatnot. Well, guys, it was all great talking to you all. I didn't realize I was getting all these celebrities at one shot. Wow, I can put on the website now that I had Warren, Dave, and Jennifer. All, you know, you're all my guru guests for the month. It's amazing. All right, well, look, so when's your next mass make and take? Thing.
Well, you see, that Baker, you've actually had your first threesome now. Are you happy?
The scary part is that Warren and Dave were involved, but, awesome, you know.
Yes, there is a make and take coming up, actually, at Dave's house next June, in late June.
In Maynard.
In Maynard.
Is it on Saturday
we're doing
or
a session,
Sunday?
We're actually doing a session where we're bringing in Brian Chamberlain, a clown named Punch, who's a very talented haunt actor who works at Nightmare New England. He's actually going to do like a scare acting class for us at a make and take.
Yeah.
So that's coming up in July. That'll be a good one. If anyone's interested in joining the Mass Make and Take group, you can, you know, ask to join the group. It's a private group, but, you know, once you're in, you can see all the events and things like that.
Awesome. So I don't know if I have anything left for you, Warren. Do you have anything left for me? What questions do you have for me?
I'm kind of spent. And actually, I'm sitting here staring at the partial dinner that I've been trying to eat as we've been chatting away. So.
All right, so I get it. So you're hungry, and food's more important.
Just a wee bit.
All right. You know, that's cool. All right. Hey, so Warren, maybe I will see you in Whitman, Massachusetts in July.
Just give me a heads up so I can prepare the crowds, you know.
Awesome. Warren, I'll catch you around the net.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.